Welcome, Director Andrea Arnold, to the Picture House podcast. I know that you've been on here before with my colleague Sam. So welcome back and thank you for joining us. And today we are discussing your first ever documentary, The Truly Unique and Brilliant Cow. So I understand that this was many years in the making. Can you talk us through where this documentary properly started for you?
So, you know what? I think I've had this film in me for a really long time. Like it comes from a really deep place in my heart. So even though we probably started it maybe like 8-9 years ago or something, like actually making it. Well, at least I had the thought, and then I met someone and got some money, and it's all started about then. But I think it's been with me a really long time, like years, like probably 30 years or something. Like it's been there. I just wasn't quite sure how to sort of realize it. And I think that comes from quite a deep place in terms of my sort of relationship with nature. And, you know, I did a research some years ago for another project where I looked into sort of farm animals, and I kind of learned a lot about farming, and I wondered about farm animals and this kind of discussion about whether they were sentient or not. You know, there's been discussion about that. And I think it's only been fairly recently that they've been recognized as being conscious. So, you know, when I first sort of looked into the whole farming thing, I think they had not been recognized as being sentient. So I wondered, because to me, you know, animals and my relationship with animals, and which has, you know, been all my life, and I've had, you know, animals as a kid and stuff, I've always thought, I mean, I'm not a scientist, but to me, they've always seemed sentient. And I've always thought, well, you can see that they've got personalities and character, and they're thinking, and they like this, don't like this. And, you know, you can sort of see that there's sort of individual characters in all the animals I've ever known.
And you do have the Cambridge Declaration on Consciousness now, don't you?
Yes, I do. It's only fairly recently, actually. And it's interesting because I feel like we all sort of know this deep down. Like it's not like a, you know, I can't prove to you in science. And even with the film and Luma, you know, we can see her behaving in certain ways, but I can't tell you what she's actually thinking or feeling. But you can sort of feel it in an intuitive way. You feel it sort of deep in your soul. So I guess my idea was to film an animal, a farm animal, and to look at its consciousness, and to see if I could see if by just following her and keeping an eye on her, whether we would see her sentience, you know. So that's sort of where it came from. And then the actual journey of making it was several years.
And I loved how you settled on the word cow as the title. You know, it makes me think of Eckhart Tolle when he says that we can minimize the greatness of the divinity of a thing by calling it a small thing like a tree or a cow. And yet in the title of your film, it is such a bold and dramatic statement. Can you tell me about why you chose to just say cow?
That's an interesting question, really, because I never, when I was thinking of the titles, like it, for some reason, cow was what came up straight away. And it never, I never sort of changed my mind about it, because, you know, I could have called her, you know, by her number or something, or by her name. But by calling her by a name, that would have been sort of humanizing her, maybe. Calling her by a number would have been turning it into a more of a thing, or and making a statement about that. So cow was sort of felt like the most honest title, because that's what she is. She's a cow. And, I wasn't trying to humanize her. I wasn't trying to turn her into a, you know, I wasn't trying to suggest that she's a thing, or that anyone else sees her as a thing. I felt like those kind of things would have been misleading and not honest. So cow felt very honest. It's what she is. She's in her situation, and we show her in a situation, and we can decide, you know, what we think about that. But it just felt like the most honest thing to call it. I didn't know what else to call it.
And I wonder, because you're making a documentary, and like you say, you want to be as absolutely straightforward and as honest as possible. And I feel that the farmers have a very specific relationship with their cow, and yet they do name them, and they do give them this humanity in a way. And you chose Luma. I mean, how did Luma come to you, or did they suggest that she would be the best one for you to follow, or did you outline what it was that you wanted? And they said, well, this cow has been with us for a while. You know, what was the situation?
So Luma, she was, so we, when we found the farm, it took us a while to find a farm as well. So, and really the farm was the first thing we had to find. Mm-hmm. And then when we got a farm, we needed to pick a cow. And I mean, they name some of the cows, they don't name all of them. They name, mm-hmm. I think they name the ones that stand out a little bit. And actually, interestingly, somebody sent me a thing the other day saying that if a cow is named, it produces up to 500 more litres of milk. I think it was 500 litres, something like that, a year if it has a name and it's called by its name, which I found fascinating. Yeah. I don't know whether it's true or not, but that's, somebody sent me that. So they don't call all of their cows names, but they, so when we got the farm, we asked the farmer, we were looking for a cow that had some character. Mm. And Luma came up, and one of the words that the farmer used to describe her was feisty. Mm. And I liked that because I felt that that meant that she had some spirit and some character. And also, if I was trying to find her, her sentience and her, I was thinking about soul, what soul means, you know, what is the soul? Mm. And I kind of thought, well, you know, soul is, it's that sort of aliveness that you can't see. It's the emotions, the thinking, you know, the mind, and it's the will. So the will of something, and feisty, because she's feisty, I thought she must have a lot of will. So in a way that kind of made sense to me, that she would show us more of herself by the fact that she was, they said she was feisty. So yeah. I thought she's going to show us more of herself, or we're going to see more of her spirit.
And do you feel, because I mean, how many hours did you spend with Luma?
Do you know what? I don't know. I know the producer made a list of these things, and I should have studied it. And not,
because do you feel that she recognised you? I mean, you must have been in the field next to her, or maybe Magda even.
Yeah,
who probably was more in there.
Yeah, yeah.
In a constant.
No, I think she felt. She really felt. I think one of the things I really felt by the end of the filming and is that I felt like she started, because we were, you know, with her, you know, Magda, me or Kat or wherever, were with her quite a lot, and she got used to us being around. And I wondered what that actually meant in terms of her, what that felt like to her, because what I started to feel is that she felt seen. So she felt seen by us. And I'm not sure many, and it made me think about what it is to be seen. Like, what does that mean? Does it, if you feel seen, you know, does that mean you feel your existence more? And I wondered what that meant to her. And I read something recently that said animals, you know, when they view humans, I think this is John Berger, he said animals, when they view humans, they have a wary look in their eye. They often have a wary look in their eye. And I was thinking about Luma, she sometimes would look angry or whatever, but sometimes she would just look at us,
yeah,
without wariness. And I felt like she, in that exchange where she was like that, I felt like she felt seen, like she was, and she was also seeing us.
Yes.
So it was an exchange. So okay. After a time, I think that happened.
And so, I mean, I thought the dairy was very generous with everything, all the access that they allowed you. And did you find that you were able to cope with everything that they presented you with? I mean, did you ever feel like I'd like to intervene, I'd like to say something, or were you as a documentarist completely obviously behind your camera and observing?
I would never intervene or say anything, because we were just there to observe, and that's really what I feel, that's really important, that's what you do.
Yes, and I completely felt that. I didn't think for a second that there was any interference from anyone. And I wondered about the editing process for you, because you must have had amassed thousands of hours of footage. And how did you keep yourself and your own motivations out of that?
Just try. I mean, the thing is, I don't think you do really. I mean, I think I can't keep myself out of anything really. Yeah. So I don't think that I did that, because I think, you know, I think if you gave this if you gave Luma to 10 different filmmakers and they filmed her for 4 years, they'd all come back with a completely different film. So I don't think as a filmmaker you can keep your, you can keep yourself out of anything. Like, you make so many decisions, and there were lots of things that fascinated me, you know, and there were some very conscious decisions of things not to include and things to include. And, you know, the gates and I got very fascinated with the avenues and the gates and the fences and what it meant for the cows. Like, so if they go this way, they go to the field. If they go this way, they go to the milking parlor. If they shut this gate off and it goes this way, it goes to the vet. Sometimes this goes to the slaughterhouse, you know. So all these, wherever they, the management of their lives was very apparent to me, just with all the gates. And
and you definitely, I feel like I absolutely can say I bore witness to the overwhelming evidence that they are sentient, in that how they all galloped into the field with glee, even with their huge descended udders hardly able to walk, they still galloped, you know. And the incredibly moving moment where Luma can't eat. And all the other, you know, and it's because she's been separated from her calf. I mean, I can't prove that, like you say, but that I felt that as a filmmaker, you were presenting absolutely as fairly and as documentarist as you could.
I really tried hard to do that. I mean, I did have to do that. And I tried hard to be, to represent what I saw in the fairest, best, most honest way.
I really, really got that. And what has been the reaction to the film? Have you managed to see it with an audience?
Yes, I saw it. It was, so it premiered in July in Cannes, and that's, I was on the jury on the Uncertain Regard at Cannes, so I was quite busy, and I didn't really kind of hang about to talk to people about it much afterwards. But then the next screening was at the London Film Festival, and I had a load of friends come. The London Film Festival was always a lovely thing for me because it's my hometown, and I get all my friends and my neighbours and, you know, all the people in the dog park. And
all animal lovers.
I think almost mostly, entirely. And all my, you know, oldest friends and my family. So everybody comes, and it's a real event for me, and it's a really lovely thing. But the interesting thing was, we had drinks afterwards, and so I had all these people come, and then I got there, and like, I got the reactions, and it was intense, like really intense, like intense reactions. And I don't know whether I got really more, you know, intense reactions because they were my friends and family, and they felt they could show me their reactions. But lots of people sobbing, and sobbing still the day after, actually. I think it kind of opened up some things for people. The film opens up not just about the cow, but for lots of people talk about things like relationships with their mothers. People, you know, one friend who comes from America said she felt that it made her think about how in America women's bodies are not becoming their own, that somebody else mentioned infertility, somebody else mentioned incarceration, lack of freedom, lots of things, loneliness.
Yes.
Lots of things come up for people. And sometimes that has a real impact. We had lots of people, like, I have got some very sensitive friends as well. And one friend couldn't stay in the screening and had to leave and fainted. I had a friend who had a panic attack. And then somebody else was sick. Sounds very strong, but the
yes, and very good. And I really, really want to thank you for making this film, because I do actually see an incredible amount of healing if we dare to look. You know, I really believe that we need to know, you know, and it's not with any judgment of any of the film, of the dairy industry or anything like that. It's just that we need to see who we are. And I believe that by looking, as Eckhart Tolle says, you see the divinity in something else, and you see it in yourself, you know, and we don't want to be the people that we've become anymore.
I love what you just said. I just love what you just said, because I feel like for all the things that happen in the world, we're all part of it all, and that everything living feels the cruelty or kindness of everything else living that's close to it. And, you know, we've been so separated from all the things that we do to, you know, with animals and with nature. And I think to engage, you know, once upon a time we lived alongside animals and we used them, and we used them for meat and we used them for clothes and used them, but we lived alongside them, and we our relationship was a connected one and in harmony with them. And now they're very separated and put over there, and we don't see it and we don't feel it. And I feel like it is hard to know some things. But by engaging, we kind of we can maybe things can be different if we engage.
Yeah, maybe we can begin the conversation that we need to have. So, Andrea Arnold, thank you so much for joining me on the Picture House podcast today. It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you.
Thank you so much.
Best of luck with now.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.